Oh, ye of little faith. I was wondering how many people would be here today due to the secular holiday. We've got 94. So, ye of little faith. First of all, I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have. We've got a number of visitors. I think the visitors may outnumber our members here, but we're very glad to have you worship with us. If there's anything we can do for you, if you need a ride back to where you're staying or anything, we don't mind an Uber showing up, but we never want to see an Uber showing up after worship. We'd like to take you ourselves. So if there's anything we can do for you, please get with us. Have a few people we need to have a prayer for before we get going. We need to remember little Jack and Kristen Patino. They're both sick today, and we'll pray for them. Also, we've had this past week, I'm sure many of you have heard by now and so forth, that Hugh and Takako, their son Jarrell, has passed away. He had been battling cancer literally for a few years now. Hugh and Takako had him much longer than the doctors ever expected. But I'm sure at this time we need to remember them and for their loss. And also Marion, just a few days ago, Marion's nephew passed away. We need to remember her and her family. Before we get into our lesson, let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with us, continue to be with us in our worship to you today. We hope that everything we have done and will do is done in spirit and in truth and is pleasing to you. Dear God, we ask that you be with little Jack and Kristen right now. Help them get feeling better and hopefully whatever they have won't be severe and they'll be up and around being their normal selves soon. Dear God, we ask that you be with the families of Hugh and Takako and Marion's family. It's tough to lose loved ones. We do understand it's part of life's journey, but it doesn't make it any easier when that day comes. Dear God, we ask that we as their brothers and sisters can do whatever it needs to help comfort them at this time and give them reassurance. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings that you do for us, and we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Well, for the most part, get settled in, get feeling good, because today's one of those kind of a reflection of this past year, and a lot of it is a praise and honoring of you, this congregation. I want to thank you very much for allowing me another year to preach the Word of God to you. It is an honor to not only preach the Word of God, but to work with this congregation. It is just an absolute honor. And the more I go, I understand what Paul said when he says, "Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel." I'm starting to understand that. But I'd like for us to kind of look back over this year and jar our memories a little bit with some of the things that have happened, some of the work that's taken place, some of the efforts we've gained through those works and efforts. Just the word 2022. From somewhere that was born in 1959, 2022 seemed so long, so far ahead in the future. Growing up, there was a lot of science fiction movies that was set in the future that we've passed. We've passed. 2022 is past some of those futuristic movies. But this year, there has been quite a bit of economic stress. Words like inflation, soaring prices, things like that. Luckily, gas has kind of gone down a little bit. But still, it needed to. I mean, it was getting to a breaking point. There's been some political stress. Seems like there's always political stress. Whatever year it is, there's always something political that people are stressed over, and a lot of it has to do with morals and all that. Crime, it's just got to turn off the TV sometimes. Not that it'll make the crime go away, but it just keeps you from getting down. But the big thing, in spite of all the things that is going on out there, the church has remained. And it always will. It always will. And we need to remember that. We need to remember, in spite of economics, politics, morality, whatever, we need to remain faithful to the end. Like Jesus said in Matthew 10:22. Revelation 2:10, we need to remain faithful until death to get that crown of life. It's a race to the end. It's not a short race. We got to go to the end. But one thing we can take comfort in is, regardless of what happens in the world, the church will remain. Matthew 16, verse 18, after Peter made that great confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, he complimented Peter for that great confession. And he says, and on this rock, that rock of the confession, not the rock of Peter. Peter, Petros, is a little pebble on the rock, the bedrock of that confession. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, no matter what the world throws at it. And that's the end result. Where we come into play is we have to decide which side we're going to be on. Are we going to be part of the church or part of the world? Because the world, the devil is going to throw many things our way. It's going to throw broken elbows. It's going to throw car wrecks. It's going to throw health problems. It's going to throw financial issues all our way. But the church, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against it. One thing this single congregation, we've gained some people this year. Some people have moved in, and not only people moved in, they're workers. They're not just pew sitters. Over the years, every congregation has some people move in. There's some congregations that wish they hadn't, because they're backbiters. They're lazy. They're gossips. They cause division. The families we've had move in are workers. They're encouragers. They're a pleasure to worship God with. Some have been taught. Many have been taught at this location. Some have been baptized. We have been fortunate enough to have had some baptisms. We'll get to this a little bit later, but not only us, but our missionaries that we support. And we're going to talk about that down the road a little bit. But just recently, Vallon Sivakumar in India had three baptisms this week and had a class of 45. And David Maroub, between two congregations he's worked with, has baptized 11. These are people we help support. We're not doing the teaching and the preaching and the baptizing, but people are that are being helped by us. But we've taught and we've baptized here in this location. In Acts 2:47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You don't join the church. You don't fill out a card and join. We don't give you a Dakota ring. We don't give you a membership badge. You're added to the church when you're baptized, and the Lord does that adding. We've added three souls this year to this congregation. And I just love that picture of June. He was all happy. But we need to remember June in our prayers. He's a young babe in Christ, and he is out of town working right now in Houston. And we're just hoping. He says he's going to be watching us here, which I believe he will. But he's a young man that still needs lots of building up and encouragement. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Whatever efforts we're making, we should. It's not so much to pat us on the back. Those are things we should be doing. And it's not so much us as God that's causing the increase. Going along with the evangelism class that we've had this past quarter, you know, our job is to spread the word. And God will cause the increase. Unfortunately, we've lost some. We've added some to our number. We've also lost some. Some families have moved away to different jobs, to be with family, whatever. We've had a few deaths in our church family here. Some of them just recent. Luckily, to my knowledge, unless there's somebody I'm overlooking, we haven't had anybody fall away, which is good. Some people have moved away, and I like to think that they're worshiping God in another congregation, and they're being nurtured and fed and contributing there. But luckily, we haven't had any fall away. But there's always a concern, always a warning for that. Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Not up until it gets uncomfortable, not until it's on my terms, to the end. Not depending on who's bringing the message, not depending on the weather, not depending on if it's too hot or too cold, but to the end. And here's a good warning for us from Paul. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Like I said, to my knowledge, I don't think any of our people that have worshiped with us this year have fallen away. But that always hangs over our head to make sure that we don't. That make sure that we stay faithful and mature. Another thing that I realized here at this location, sound doctrine has been taught. The sermons morning and evening, and I really commend the men that bring lessons Sunday evening. sometimes on the spur of the moment when I decide to take a nap before Sunday morning. You know, not a lot of people could get right up with about 7 minutes notice and deliver a sermon. You know, but that's indicative of this congregation. We are small, but we are fierce. Don't let anybody tell you different. And have that attitude as we're biting off chunks of the world. You've got to have that fierce attitude. And the Word of God has been taught. I love it. Preston left his fact check in the car a while ago. False doctrine is not going to be proclaimed from this pulpit. Or if it accidentally is, it will be challenged. And I love that. Our Sunday morning Bible class teachers, the time and the effort. The time and the effort Preston put into that notebook, and the class hasn't even started yet. Our Wednesday night Bible class, our gospel meetings, sound doctrine has been taught. And our scripture reading from this morning, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. It's hard to imagine Paul like that. But you know, he's not a liar. With much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the whole nature. That sums up the efforts that are made here at the South Valley Church of Christ, this congregation, the efforts of sound doctrine that are taught in Bible classes and in sermons. Acts 17:11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily, to find out whether these things were so. This is a Bible study congregation. You study your Bibles, and that's to be commended. We've made a good name for ourselves with our visitors. Visitors will come back time and time again as they come back to town. People that are searching for a congregation locally will visit and then come back. That's a testimony to you, that the warm welcome you give them, the fact that they're looking for sound doctrine and they're getting sound doctrine. We've got a good report with the missions that we support in South Korea and Kenya and India, Mexico. Well, they know that we are interested in spreading the Word of God. The activities and the service that we do in this community ourselves are to be remembered. You know, our mission support. Malcolm Parsley was just here a few weeks ago reporting on the work that's being done in South Korea. He's been there my entire life. He's been there over 60 years. David Marub, 11 baptisms this week. Valon, you know, having classes of 45, baptizing 3 this past week. We've had 3 this year. What a great work that is being done with our mission support. Every year we have a gospel meeting in August with David Phillips. Has never said one word that wasn't that was contrary to the Bible. I think he's been out here 10 years now. Our community service with serving our kids. We are known in the community as a congregation of people that help others. That help others. Romans 1:8, Paul would write, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." That could have been written about South Valley. That could be written about us. Instead, he was writing it to the Romans. That their efforts, their teachings, their love was known worldwide. Hebrews 6:10. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." The work that is being done here, and it's easy to overlook sometimes. We always hear prayers about the people that work behind the scenes. Do you realize never once have we come in to turn on a light and the power bill wasn't paid? There's always toilet paper in the bathroom. There's always communion. Do you think little elves come in at night? People do this. We don't have a pigsty here. People clean up. People get our live stream up and going. People empty the trash. There's always water in the fridge. There's always water in the baptistry. And it's always clear and nice. It's not like muddy water, which would be okay anyway. Those are things that people do. A lot of what I just said, I'm not even, it's kind of bad on me, bad reflection. I'm not even exactly sure who all does it, but it always gets done. If you're not part of the work, jump in, help, buy in and have ownership of this congregation. It'll make you feel better. And last, I'd like to look at, we've grown. We're not the same person that we were this time last year, I hope. My observation is we're not. We've grown in faith. We've grown in obedience. We've grown in our service and in our fellowship. We've grown. We haven't just become stagnant. And we have to continue. This time next year, I hope we're stronger, more mature, more learned, studied than we are right now.